Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella, and welcome. So one of the things that I talk about frequently and have also written about, among other publications in my current book, Me, Inc., How to Master the Business of Being You, is the whole idea of the importance of living our lives on purpose. In fact, anybody listening to this show for the last several months might notice that I generally end it. Actually, I always end it with the idea of you only have one life. Why not live it on purpose? And so why is it important to have a vision in our life? Why is it important to live with, think of it as a purpose-filled intention? Well, I believe that it can be very motivating. You know, when you think about what gets you excited when you get up in the morning, what makes you want to get out of bed, leap out of bed, and embrace the day? My view is it's by having some kind of an idea, a long-term view of what you want to do with your life, what you want to accomplish, the legacy that you want to leave behind. And here joining us today are two such people that have dedicated, I would say, probably most all of their life in just doing that. Please join me in welcoming David Giller and Helene Abrams, visionaries. Welcome. And they have traveled down from down into the boondocks of Greenwich from New York City. Thank you for being here.
It's our pleasure.
It's our pleasure, Scott.
So, okay, we've known each other for, it's going on close to 10 years or so, and ever since I've known you, you have been just dedicated and driven towards a vision. Talk a little bit about that. What do you two do, and husband and wife team, I should say, parenthetically, what do you two do that... what are some things that you're involved in, and what drives the activities and the projects that you've been involved in?
Oh,
they're looking
so much.
Since this is radio, I've got to describe. They're looking at each other. They're being very respectful to each other. Who's going to talk? Who's going to talk first? How long have you two been married?
Well, we've been together for 10 years, but we actually have known each other 16 years previous to that.
Okay,
very good friends.
Very good. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
But as far as the vision is concerned, back in 1977, which is going on 35 years, I had a vision about that everything was getting very stressful and that communities were going to really need positive reinforcement. And that was back then when stress really, population boom and all that kind of thing.
I thought that was now. 1977, wow, I thought things were serene. And I was around back in 77, but I thought things were relatively calm back then.
Well, it's gotten progressively worse over the years, which for all of stuff that we're working on is, progressively better. Unfortunately, the projects that we've worked on are ways or methodologies and techniques and tools for accelerating positive change in communities worldwide. It's a global project.
So, David, let me start with you first. Your background. So, what were you? How were you making your living? Your livelihood, your career. Was that a side thing, or was it part of what?
Well,
what you did?
I was really like a stress consultant at that time. So, that's why I had this vision, this particular vision, because I felt that I was really tuned into that whole stress thing.
So people
stress
were,
is the biggest killer.
Yeah.
And, it's the thing that really creates the emotions, that set in that people encounter each day,
So people stressed out, and did you, so you were more interested in the individual, working with individuals to help reduce stress?
That's what I was doing back then before I had the vision.
Well, okay. You also were doing workshops too. Back then,
yeah.
So how did you two meet? Now, Helene, go ahead. I'll give you your, you get your shot.
I get my shot. Well, I've been in the entertainment field for over 30 years, and I was an actress and a filmmaker, and I was doing a film project in Florida, and David happened to come with a friend of his to a something I was filming, and so that's how we met and started being friends for, over 15, 16 years. And then eventually we...
Things shifted.
Things shifted.
Okay. We'll leave that to the imagination of our listeners.
But I've, you know, I've always been caring about empowering people and making films that make a difference. I'm also an actress. So, you know, everything that I was involved with was to empower people and to bring them to a new vantage point, a new way that they can see that can help them with their lives.
We were definitely on the same page.
Oh, it sounds like it. And so when we first met, going back, as I said, 8 to 10 years ago, I was introduced by one of my former Fordham students at the business school in Lincoln Center. And they said that you were working on a project at that time. And if you can recall that project, what was that one of the first, you know, major initiatives? Because I remember, well, I know that it involved the a song, Dave, that I believe that you composed and wrote. And
yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm a Person. So was that one of the first major initiatives in carrying out your vision?
Well, that was one of the initiatives. I mean, that was one. That was the one we were working on when we first met you, and we had created a self-esteem. I'm a Person self-esteem kit that incorporated the song and bookmarks and wonderful things. In fact,
so what was the idea behind that? The I'm a Person self-esteem kit.
The idea behind it, well, I'm a Person itself is a very powerful song for boosting the self-esteem of children, and we decided to put together a family kit that would be like a great starting point to build a child's self-esteem. And as it turned out, you know, parents love the song too, so it's really a song. It's really a project for the whole family.
So did you have that in your background as a, you know, I don't know what
educator.
You but also lyricist, songwriter,
yeah.
No, what happened was. I was practicing. Well, did you want to say something?
No.
That I was practicing what I call the 10 daily fundamentals to greater well-being. And my creativity just started taking off in so many different directions. I'd never written any songs or anything like that or done anything real creative like that. And all of a sudden, the creativity just started going in so many directions.
So you came up with the title, which I love, I'm a Person, because in my view, it I think it represents the dignity of an individual, because we're all people. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in whether it's race, ethnicity, our religion, our orientate, whatever that might be. And this is, it's so simple. I'm a
it's
person.
It's a song that breaks down the barriers.
It breaks down the barriers. And that's another thing that I really love about what the two of you have been doing is it's not only color, it's everything blind.
Everything blind.
It's, you know, I'm a Person, so it respects the dignity of the individual. Well, I'm very pleased to actually share at least a little bit of the song. And why don't you take a listen to this? And we'll also talk about how, if you're interested in obtaining copies of this, it is available, David, Helene?
Well, we have the kits available online.
The kits, and the CD is part of the kit.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's take a listen. Okay, well, that is a catchy tune. I love it. Now, were these professional? It sound like all kids singing.
Well, there were 17 children from an elementary school, excuse me, in North Miami
Okay. And did you hand pick them, or did they have to audition?
No, they were selected. They had a music teacher who had his own band. He was like really good, and he worked with the harmony and with the kids, and we all 17 kids went into the studio and recorded this.
Okay, so now, as I recall also and understand, you were able to get this, in carrying out this vision, starting with this particular project, the I'm a Person project, one of your aims was to bring it into some of the inner city schools. And talk a little bit about that. Any successes that you might have experienced?
There was actually, we had an I'm a Person week that was done down in Florida, back then. And much more recently, we've been doing a lot of work in the South Bronx. And in fact, it's one of the teachers there in PS 55 has been using I'm a Person for the last 7 years as their school song. And he feels that it's a song that gives people, gives kids a lifeline to hold on to, because who at home is telling these kids that they're a person? Nobody. In fact, 40% of the kids live in shelters and in this particular school.
The rest of them live in projects.
I see.
So it's a very high crime area, very, very poor area.
But they do find that it's amazing, when kids are singing about, it's positive, uplifting lyrics. In fact, we have other songs, too, that we work with these kids with, and it's real important. People don't realize it. Some people don't realize
it. So just getting the kids to sing this song, do you believe that makes a difference?
It does make a difference, but it's only part of what really needs to be done, because it's all about it's like what Hillary Clinton said, it takes a village. And so our programs are designed to not only work in the schools, but around the schools and in the community as well.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about other initiatives that you're involved in. And actually, I know that there are, and I've seen these things, they're incredible, everything from posters to, and actually some of that comes with the kit. What are some of the tools and the fundamentals for positive transformation? Because if I had to really sum it up, you're visionaries, but really there are a lot of visionaries, but the goals, the ultimate goals or intentions are, vary from individual to individual. Is it correct in saying that you're all about positive transformation on individual, collective and global scale? Is
Absolutely.
That a fair statement?
Yes.
basically, we have positive themes every month that literally surround people wherever they go. Like if they're walking down the street, there's a bus going by with the positive. And these are the same slogans that the kids are learning in school. So it's the whole community supporting that. It goes on buses and billboards and we have our content that we've created over all these years is broken down into positive reinforcement products like the kit we were just talking about in this little book, I'm a Person So Smile, that Helene wrote. It's a wonderful little book. And a bunch of other things in the product area. Then we also have the programs for schools and businesses and organizations and entire communities that work with the positive theme of the month. And then Helene's a filmmaker, so we've developed many projects that are in the area of TV, TV shows and that we're working on. And we're also working on two films right now. One is about the song. It's called I'm a Person, the Song That Changed the World documentary. And then the other film is about it's about what we're doing. And it's called The Plot to Heal the World.
The Plot to Heal. It seems like it needs some healing, doesn't it?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And you mentioned about the stress in 1977. Clearly, there was stress back then. And you're right. A lot of things were changing socially, et cetera, culturally. Today, though, I think it's unprecedented. And I think that's backed up by the number of – when you look at some of the statistics, the number of people now on medication, and not only just the – the older folks, the seniors, et cetera. But we're finding more and more kids now are on all kinds of medications. We have new clinical designations, ADHD, among others.
Right.
And so it doesn't appear, though, as things, unfortunately, and we're positive people here, but it doesn't appear as though things are getting much better. So
I
believe you can have an impact with your programs on positive transformation.
Yes. We've actually seen great impact. One of the teachers has been using David's song, our song, I'm a Person, for many years. And I have videotaped her talking about some students that were so bad years ago when, you know, and then they sang the song. And then as they got older, they came back to see her. And they were working with kids and helping kids and talking about how, what a difference, you know, it does make in their lives. It did make in their lives.
And isn't that the real proof, right, in terms of the impact of whether it's a song or the whole, the entire program? But isn't that really the ultimate proof is when you have somebody come back like that talking about how it made a difference in their life and then going on actually to making a difference in other people's lives?
Exactly. In fact, one thing I would just want to say, Therese Terranova, a wonderful Paralympic table tennis champion, has been singing this song for many years. She's in a wheelchair, and she was going around the world at winning all these championships, and she would sing the song at every occasion.
Hand out the lyrics.
We were down there last year, and she was saying that she made this
She opened up a 17,000 square foot
table tennis club, and it was because of the song that she was able to make her dreams come true. So,
you know, what I like about that also, and as a former disc jockey going way back, I believe in strongly that you know, artists should be allowed to, you know, produce whatever, you know, whatever the FCC will allow them to. So I'm not into censorship by any means. However, having said that, I would say, and having the background as a disc jockey, playing classical rock music, actually,
right.
all that great stuff from the 60s and 70s, and even some of the 80s, we would call that, even a little bit of the punk rock, actually, that goes back a little bit. It's interesting, though, that they're still playing the classical rock even today. But my point is that there's so much music, it appears, where it's not healthy for kids. It doesn't build self-esteem. It degrades women. It degrades certain cultures, ethnicities, et cetera. And so, again, I'm not for censorship because we can choose to, you know, flip onto that station or buy that album or CD or you know, load it up, load it in from iTunes. But sometimes kids, you know, they're not necessarily able to discern, or they're not even aware of the lyrics that they're listening to and singing along to subconsciously, how that can have a negative impact on folks. So I do believe that because part of the whole positive thinking, the idea behind that is that our subconscious mind really ultimately drives much of our behavior. So if we're putting that stuff in, think of it, you know, you kind of flip the lid off the top of your head. If you're filling it up with that kind of, I shouldn't say music, but especially it's the lyrics, actually. I think it's the music,
yes,
that's catchy.
Well, it
and
goes
gets their
right,
attention.
You know, music goes right into the soul. That's why it makes that kind of an impact on children.
You really get right to it.
So
I hadn't
open.
Thought about that. I
yeah.
get a chill when you say that. It goes right into the soul, doesn't it?
And we've got a lot of different music with uplifting lyrics and melodies that we want to get out there, and that are, you know, they are getting out there and are part of our programs.
And the thing is, right now in the Bronx, we're doing a major initiative in the Bronx. So as a prelude to our bus tour next year, we're planning to do a 15-city, 12-state bus tour called Think Positive America.
Okay, hold that thought, because we're going to take a break, and I definitely want to hear about that. Hey, listen, we're talking with David Giller and Helene Abrams. They are visionaries. You're listening to the Business of Living show here at 1490 WGCH.
Hi, this is Darby from Darby and Friends. Join me every Monday night at 5 o'clock for Shalom Center. The co-founders, that spiritual dynamic duo of Rabbi Mitch Hurwitz and Reverend Dr. Jim Lemler, will discuss topical issues such as, why do we need faith? How do we raise ethical children? How do we honor our differences? Shalom Center. Heard every Monday night on Darby and Friends at 5 o'clock on 1490 WGCH.
Back, Scott Ventrella for the Business of Living show here with David Giller, Helaine Abrams, Visionaries, and talking about their vision for a better world via positive transformation. You mentioned a bus tour, among other things, that you're, I mean, you got, I don't know how you fit it all in.
I don't know either.
Do you have some, have you somehow figured out a 36-hour day or an 8-day work week? 8 days a week, right?
No, actually, we're in the process of putting together our team and our partners around the country, including major corporations. We're working on developing sponsorships for our bus tour for next year, our 12-state, 15-city bus tour, Think Positive America, to spread the seeds for positivity in communities around the country.
Tell me more about the bus tour. What's the idea behind that? What will the program look like?
Well, the idea behind it is that we're looking to see what are the most powerful tools that we can share across the country in education and with corporations. And what we'll do is we'll get the thinkers and the educators in each place.
Each community
to do a brainstorming and create a consortium there as we take our materials and what we've learned in New York, because we're beginning with Think Positive New York. And actually, the
good place to start.
Think Positive New York, and then it translates into Think Positive Dallas, Think Positive Los Angeles.
So have you identified the cities, and are they mostly all cities, or?
They are, although at this point, yeah. People are calling us and saying, we heard about this bus tour, can you come here? So, you know, everything isn't in stone yet.
Oh, okay.
Right now we're talking about cities like Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Miami, Denver, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland.
Chicago.
Okay, so will it be like a coast-to-coast?
Going down the East Coast and then southern part of the country.
Okay.
And then to the West Coast and then coming back a little further.
All right, okay.
So we're doing it. And different, we'll have a show in each city, and we'll have some performers that might be joining us, and also we'll be working with the different cities so that we'll have a liaison in every city.
And doing a college forum. We will have talking about positive change in their community and have speakers and an audience asking questions. And,
so you're really
kind of like a town meeting kind of thing.
You're hitting all kinds of demographics,
exactly.
Age groups. This is not limited. The I'm a person, clearly, I can see that with some of the younger kids. And Helaine, also your book that I want to also mention again, The I'm a Person, So Smile, written and illustrated by Helaine, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a fantastic book and just published last year, 2011.
Yes,
yeah. So it's not just, again, you're hitting every age group. That's a lot on your plate.
It's a lot on our plate, and it's a very huge project, and it always was right from the beginning. But fortunately, and as I said before, unfortunately, that there's such a need for it. But fortunately, and that we have everything ready to go right now.
And we do believe that we can transform the different communities, and there are so many like-minded individuals that have wonderful materials that, you know, that we bring with us to these different cities. So it's an exciting possibility with this entire journey.
The whole idea is to create like a funnel. Mm-hmm. That you could just put in more songs and more books and more TV programs.
That reinforce this positive
exactly.
message.
Sure.
That's the way we're structuring this whole thing. Right now, it's us and we have some interns and all that. But
we
anticipate this as being a very, very large thing. And even right now, the corporate sponsorships that we've created, it's an incredible opportunity for companies who really want to improve their image and be part of something that is so positive.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned something, this initiative in the South Bronx with the schools.
Yes.
And it makes me think also of the recently, I think, implemented grading system where they're actually, it's throughout the New York City schools, right, where they're grading teachers. So I think the idea behind that, of course, is to upgrade the schools by identifying, you know, teachers who really are let's say, missing the mark, et cetera. And I'm not suggesting that anyway this is connected, but the whole idea of improving the quality of education as well as the quality of, for the kids, the experience of that education, interacting with one another. Tell me a little bit more about the South Bronx project.
Well, one thing I want to say is that there's a we've been around a lot of the principals. The principal from the school that's been using the song as their school song is the head of a whole consortium of principals in the South Bronx, or in the Bronx. And what I've noticed is that these principals are incredible. They care so much for these kids. They're you know, they know what's possible. And yesterday I was on the subway in New York City and some kid was really down. We got into a conversation and I said, "What's the problem?" So he said, "Oh, my school." I said, "Really? Like, if there's one thing you could change, it's my principal."
Oh, my gosh.
So it was so interesting that here we've been around such, you know, dynamic, engaging, dynamic principals that are doing so much for their children, that we think that this is definitely a key.
You know, I think that's interesting because when I think back to principals that I've had, you know, unfortunately, they're and I grew up in a more of a rural area, but unfortunately, most of my friends and I, you know, we didn't necessarily have a favorable. We were afraid of the principal, and maybe that was the way it was supposed to be. I don't know, but I do remember it, in high school where the principal was the more of the ideal, if you will, the kind of person that you was approachable, the kind of person that you felt really did care about kids. So it sounds like you have identified and are working with just such a person.
And yes, we are, and it just, you know, we were divinely guided into that area. But
I just wanted to tell you one particular thing, because you mentioned about learning and education. And self-esteem is really helps to build a framework for learning, because it's one thing to have all these tests that they're doing and all that, but that's not really showing, you know, allowing the creativity to come out from the kids, and they've taken away the gym and the arts and all that. So this is really important for the kids to have a high self-esteem, so that, like, especially like in the school that we're working with, this PS55, they have these kids are coming from sheltered. They come in the morning to school. They're not ready to learn yet. So there has to be positive reinforcements for them. And
excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the teacher in the South Bronx has got 18 classes, and there are 450 children every morning singing that school song in each class as they come in. So that's a lot of kids that are hearing that song over and over again.
Reinforcing.
And I think so many, this helps remind me that there's so many kids that are coming from environments that are not positive, the kids that aren't even getting a good, you know, breakfast, a good start to the day, right, which we know is so important, you know, clothes, things like that. And so much that many of us take for granted, perhaps. But again, walking in, you know, from that environment, you want them to walk into an environment that gets their head geared to the learning, right? And I do believe that starts with the idea of building that self-esteem, or, you know, reinforcing.
And one quick thing. Yep. And some of the women up in up in Connecticut had adopted this school and started helping them in different ways. So all things are possible.
I love that, and I love what you two are doing. There's so, you know, this is great, you know, to hear about people who've dedicated really most of their lives to making positive change happen in the world. I thank you so much. We've been speaking with David Giller and Helaine Abrams. Thank you for making the trip. This is
Scott.
Thank you. Hopefully, we'll have you back again, because we'll want to do a little bit of an update on the bus tour and all these other initiatives. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be ready for some more updates. This is Scott Ventrella. Thank you for joining me on the Business of Living show. Remember, you only have one life to live. Why not live it on purpose? WGCH.